Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. So the passage that I want to preach from this morning comes from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Let me read it. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now became wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servant who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I picked this passage mostly because of the interaction between Jesus and his mother, but there is so much in this passage that I can hardly say it in the time I have, let alone years and years of preaching. There's just so much in this passage. I really love this story. We have in this story the fact that Mary was at this wedding. And most scholars think that means that she was in a key role in helping with the wedding, probably because a relative of hers, probably a son or a daughter, was either the groom or the bride. And she was in a key role. And then we have Jesus there, probably for the same reason. It's a relative. And then we have his 12 disciples there. One kind of humorous note is some have surmised that the reason they ran out of wine, and they probably ran out of a lot of food, is because of the 12 disciples, all guys in their 20s and 30s. I remember when I was growing up, when we would go to our house for after school snacks. Sometimes we come to my house, sometimes we go to my friend's house, but our mothers had to keep the food stocked because we would go through it very quickly. And I'm sure we didn't fully appreciate the grocery bills that our parents had because of us. And so they ran out of wine, and she came to Jesus, and she knew that he was the answer to the problem. She knew about Jesus because she knew from the beginning that he was the Savior. He was Emmanuel, and that he was the answer to our problems. And so we see here not only a literal looking to Jesus for the situational issue, but also a statement that this is the person that we all can look to for our help. And the interesting thing about this story is it's dealing with a shortfall. The master of the wedding, the one in charge of making sure it went well, either didn't plan right or something went wrong and he ran out of wine. Again, it could have been all the disciples. But at any rate, it was a horrible embarrassment and shame in that culture to run out of anything, but especially wine, because the rabbis of that day would say, "If you have no wine, you have no joy." And they didn't want to have a wedding with no joy. They didn't want to have a celebration of this great relationship that is a joyous occasion without wine. And so, as we know, wine does symbolize joy when it's talked about in the Bible. So they ran out of wine. There was a shortfall. You know, the Bible talks in Romans that we all are sinners, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. And we know what it's like to fall short. Most of us know what it's like to not have enough paycheck to last for the month. We know what it's like to run out of gas. We know what it's like to not have any more energy to keep going in a day. You know, it's just we experience all kinds of shortfalls, but we also experience it in our lack of being able to be perfect. I'm so glad that I don't have to be perfect. I'm so glad that I have a savior. I'm so glad that I can have forgiveness. You know, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 and 12, you can look it up for yourself, but it talks about these saints who defeated the accuser of the brethren, who was before God day and night accusing them with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And like I said, the wine, when we celebrate communion, it represents the shed blood of Christ, his blood shed for our sins. And we know that what Jesus did for us on the cross was a work of grace, and that we can know we can receive forgiveness for our sin and be free from that through Christ. And I'm just very grateful for what Christ did for us on the cross. And the Bible calls that the blood of the Lamb. And I just want to encourage you to consider what that means. It means that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means you defeat the accuser of the brethren, not with your own ability, but by accepting and receiving the cleansing blood of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ into your life. 1 John 1:9 says just what I told you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I think what that means is if we know that we've participated in wrongdoing, that we can confess that and have confidence that he cleanses us not only from that, but from all unrighteousness. That means anything that we've done wrong that we don't even know about or remember. I mean, it's just sort of like God looks at our heart, we reach out to him, we say, God, I think I messed up, I just need your forgiveness, and we receive it. You know, I got a teaching from Henry Wright where he talked about how we can confess our sins, how we can know that we have confessed our sins in biblical ways. And he gives 8 steps for this. I just want to share them real quick. First is recognize the sin. You know, the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he convicts us when we do things wrong. And I think we often do things wrong, especially in the things we say. We gossip sometimes, we have bad attitudes, we say mean things. You know, our words are powerful. And so there's a lot of wrongdoing that can happen with our words. But the Holy Spirit will convict us. I get convicted when I say wrong things. And so we're supposed to recognize the sin, recognize that we did the wrong thing, we said the wrong thing. And then it says, number two, is responsibility. Take responsibility for agreeing with that sin and allowing yourself to participate in it. Number three is repent for the action. It's like, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for saying what I said. I'm sorry for participating in that gossip. And then the fourth one is renounce. Renounce it as a dead work. You know, I don't want to participate in this kind of thing because isn't life-giving. I want to be involved with things, Lord, that are life-giving. And so right now I just renounce gossip. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. And then it says remove. Remove it by telling it to go. So you have a problem with gossip, you know, just, I don't care how many times you have to say it. Say it over and over if you have to, but just say, you know what? I just don't want gossip in my life. I just, in Jesus' name, get out of my life. I'm not going to gossip anymore. And then number six is resist. So then, you know, obviously you're going to be tempted to gossip again. I'm just using gossip as an example. It can be anything, but the Holy Spirit, you know, he convicts us. And when he convicts us, he always gives us hope. He never gives us condemnation. The Holy Spirit never gives us condemnation for our wrongdoing. He always is pointing to life and life-giving direction from the Lord. And so we resist it. So next time you're at the water cooler with your social distancing masks, you know, and you're yelling to each other the gossip about somebody, you resist it. You refuse to participate in it. And so it won't come back. But if it does, and you can confess it and repent again. The seventh thing is rejoice in your freedom. There's a freedom in forgiveness, amazing freedom in forgiveness. And I see this with people in my ministry. They've been haunted by things that they've done in their lives, and they have no idea the freedom that they can get just by receiving forgiveness, and the forgiveness they give themselves too after they receive this forgiveness. And the eighth thing is restore others to wholeness. And that means the word of your testimony, going out and talking about the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, I have to talk about my mother and also my dad because it's Mother's Day. And I want to let you know that when I was a little kid, I didn't always act in a perfect way. I know that is surprising to most of you. But my mom and my dad both had different ways of disciplining me. My dad, he didn't discipline me very much. I remember really only one time that he disciplined me, and that was after I was mean to my older sister. And I was only 3 years old, but maybe four. But he took me home, and he gave me a crew cut. And while he was giving me the crew cut, he, in a very firm but gentle way, gave me instruction on how I need to treat my sister. And I loved that kind of discipline, to tell you the truth, because I looked in the mirror afterwards, and I thought I looked pretty handsome. You know, I was like, I like that kind of discipline. But my mom, what she did is she had a switch. She called it a switch. It was basically a twig, a long twig. And if you did something wrong, she would go and get her switch, and she would just lightly tap you on your leg. You know, usually I was wearing shorts, you know, so she would just tap me on the below my knee, and it actually almost tickled. But you know, it made a point, you know, don't displease me, you know. And mostly I tried to make her happy. And so it did bother me when she would get the switch, and I knew that was her way of saying you did wrong. But I'm grateful for that instruction in my life, because it's made me realize that the Holy Spirit is the same way, and that God disciplines us by convicting us, and we go from glory to glory. There's a song that I asked Angela to send out with the sermon, and that song has these amazing words. God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please again. I need you. Oh, I need you. Walking down the desert road, water for my thirsty soul. I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace. I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. There's a lot more to that song, but listen to that song, and it's like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, is what the song says. It's God's forgiveness. And that's really so true. I need God's forgiveness every day. And I love it. I love God's forgiveness. Repenting is not a horrible thing. It's an awesome thing, because the Holy Spirit is right there walking with us every step of the way. You know, when I was young, I had a horse. And I got so that I understood, through the instruction of my grandfather, how to guide my horse just by what they called neck reining. And I would just put a little bit of pressure on the neck of the horse to let it know which direction I wanted it to go. And I feel like it's kind of a weird analogy, but the Holy Spirit is working with me to become somebody that the Holy Spirit can neck rein. You know, just give me a little nudge or a little push, and I'm sensitive to it. But I know that when I ignore that nudge or that push, that I have grace and that I can get restored. And so I want to thank my mother especially today for those switch experiences. On Father's Day, I'll thank my dad for that haircut, because that was an awesome haircut. He had no idea how much I actually enjoyed that. But the switch was very effective, And I grew up in an awesome home, and I honor my mom. And I want to tell you all, she, and you, if you know her, you know this is true. She's totally amazing, and probably a lot like the mother of Jesus. And her name is Marilyn. So I know I'm getting carried away here, but happy Mother's Day, Mom. God bless.